We thank the Lord that we have this opportunity to gather, and we do pray that this will bring in more of God's blessings. We do hope that this will bring in true benefit. So we pray that our heart and our spirits may be all placed together. May we have this opportunity to be diligent in pursuing before the Lord. And as we begin, let us pray. We hope that more brothers and sisters in your spirits, that you may be moved and that we can pray for this meeting. You do not have to pray very long. Just a short few phrases is fine. And we place this time into the Lord's hands. Let's have a time of prayer. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you. We truly place today's gathering into your gracious hand. Lord, this morning, together through the fellowship of our brothers, once again do speak to us. We thank you that you are so willing to reveal your Son in us. And so we do desire that every single time you would reveal more of yourself to us, so that from within us, we would have a greater desire for you as you gather more and more brothers and sisters before you, even though it's once a month, but still give this hunger and thirst before you. Lord, today, in this gathering, may you receive the glory, that your children may receive the provision from you. We thank you. We place this in your hands. In your name we pray. Amen. Yes, Lord, we thank and praise you. We do desire for this not to be just a gathering of men, but Lord, as brothers and sisters, we gather in your presence. May you be with us abundantly. May the anointing of your Holy Spirit through your own words, through the fellowship of our brothers and sisters, together may we meet our dear Lord Jesus. We thank you with all our hearts. Thank you for such an opportunity. While we still have today, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we do want to thank you and praise you with all of our hearts. We know that we are gathering beneath the shadow of the Almighty, and with unveiled face, we can come before you. And in Christ, all of the veils have been taken away. So we bring before you a heart full of thanksgiving and praise. And together, as many people as one, we gather before you. We are here to see you of your glory. Our eyes are fixed upon your body. Lord, we do thank you. Lord, even though we see dimly, like in a mirror, glory to glory, but we thank you that you are doing this work of change. We praise you. Lord, you are constantly doing this work of change in us, so we have such hope of glory. Oh, Christ in us truly is the hope of glory within us. We want to give you all praise. We truly want to praise you. Lord, how we are such blessed people receiving such grace. Lord, how can we not help but to open up our mouths to praise you? Otherwise, the stones will cry out. Lord, we do want to thank you. May all creation, heaven and earth, give you worship and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord, we do pray that your name in this gathering may be exalted. Because of such a gathering, may the measure of Christ In your house and in every heart that belongs to you, may it increase. Anything outside of Christ, from man, from the world, may it decrease. Lord, may you in this gathering, the purpose for establishing such a gathering, use it so that you yourself may gain us. We thank you. May you increase and may we decrease. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we thank you. In every location you have gathered, brothers and sisters, as we desire after you, Lord, we want to offer our thanksgiving and praise, that together with brothers and sisters, I may have a portion to pursue after you. Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' most precious name I pray. Amen. Lord, we do thank you with all our hearts. You truly love us. You have given yourself to us without any reservation, and you also desire that we would completely give ourselves to you. Lord, we know that today not only have you saved us, but that you desire upon us that you would be able to use us. We come to a very critical time. We see that many of the older saints are gradually passing away. And in this generation, may you still gain some valuable vessels, honorable vessels who are useful to you. As you testify to your own work, may it move forward. And so we reverently place this following time into your hands. Do speak to our hearts. And so from our depths, do lead us. And in this meeting, may you gain all brothers and sisters. While we still have a little bit of time to serve you on earth, may your name be glorified. We thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. So in the past, with brothers and sisters, we've already shared that there are four different lines as we share. First is so that we may be more familiar with Scripture. We do encourage brothers and sisters to memorize Scripture. There's no other better method but to memorize God's words, and then you are more and more familiar with God's words. So today, in this gathering, we need to memorize Colossians chapter 2. We thank the Lord. And so first, we've asked brothers and sisters in Seattle that they will memorize in English. It doesn't matter what version. They're going to memorize in English. If you have memorized it also in English, you can also follow along. You can use your own version. It's fine. You do not need to turn on your microphone. Just follow along as you memorize. And after we memorize in English, then we're going to ask some Minneapolis brothers and sisters to memorize it in Chinese. We thank the Lord. Last time, everybody was so encouraged. We're going to ask them to also memorize chapter 2. We're going to give the time now to Brother Juan in Seattle, and we'll start in English. I do want to mention to the saints, to memorize together in English, it's very difficult, so it's going to be a bit noisy or staggered, so do bear with us. We're going to use the NASB version, 1995 version. We're going to ask Brother Juan to pause. Perhaps this the noise is a bit of a distraction to us in trying to memorize together. So perhaps in our way or method of how to do this, we need to change it a little bit. Perhaps those who are more familiar, perhaps just two or three people would lead and everyone else can follow along. Perhaps that would be a little bit more clear in the audio format. No problem. Let me say again, to memorize is better than not memorizing at all. Our brothers and sisters have spent the energy and effort, so we think that's good. But today is a bit too distracting. It's very unclear. So we're going to ask the brothers and sisters in Minneapolis, please memorize in Chinese. For those in Chinese, go ahead and follow. We thank the Lord. Thank you, young brothers and sisters in Minneapolis. You really used effort to memorize. They are still young, and so their minds are clear. And there are still many older brothers and sisters among us who are also memorizing. And so we encourage brothers and sisters to memorize the Bible. On one hand, it is so that you may be more diligent in your attitude towards his word, so that there's not one word that you add or lose out. You memorize word by word. It's not when you normally read the Bible, you just skim through it really fast. And so this is a bit of encouragement for brothers and sisters. We hope it would bring in this atmosphere that we find a lot of children of God neglect God's words, and that this is a big problem. In the past century, there were many brothers and sisters who were very familiar with God's word. But now when we come to this century, when we come to this generation, we feel that we're very relaxed and casual towards God's word. And memorizing God's words is just filling the gap a little bit. We hope that everybody can be more diligent in such a way we can mutually encourage one another. Even if some of you don't have good memories, like me, my memory is not good, but the difference between memorizing and not memorizing is a huge difference. And so we hope that in this way, it can bring in such an atmosphere among us that on God's word, we would be more built up. So today we memorized Colossians chapter 2. Next time, chapter 3. I know that there are brothers and sisters in Austin. They have already offered to memorize chapter 3. And last time I've also mentioned to Brother Freedom Chu that have you in your location of the young people also prepared? Brother Freedom says, we are still in the middle of preparing. We're preparing both Chinese and English. So Brother Sun asked Brother Freedom that next time, can you memorize in English? Of course you need to memorize it all, and also chapter 4. You guys can memorize it in English. Chapter 4, is that okay? Colossians, chapter by chapter, it gets shorter and shorter. Chapter 4 is the shortest. Can you prepare? We can ask which group brothers and sisters can memorize in Chinese. It's better if you volunteer. Perhaps at the end of our gathering today, we can still connect on this. No matter what, we do hope that in these days, brothers and sisters, let's put all of our attention on the book of Colossians. Next, together with brothers and sisters, I still want to have some fellowship with you about following the anointing, the life of following the anointing. And at first, I also want to open up the time to brothers and sisters to have some fellowship. But then I was thinking, in regards to this fellowship of following the anointing, we can also establish a good habit here that brothers and sisters, about 3 to 5 minutes, you can also use this time to share about one aspect in your daily life in a very clear, concise way. And so I'm still inviting some brothers because they have received grace for many years, that they would set an example in a time limit of 3 to 5 minutes, if they could also share. So I've invited a few people. The first is Brother Richard Shaw in California. We're going to give the time to Brother Richard. My sharing is very short. When I was young, Brother Sun at that time, he was also leading us. We were learning how to follow the teaching of the anointing. In learning to follow the teaching of the anointing, how to submit and to obey the Holy Spirit, the very most basic lesson, I wasn't very good at learning it. But after attending this meeting, he reminded us again that we need to pay attention to follow the leading and teaching of the anointing. In reality, after many, many months, I thought after retirement, my life should be very relaxed and I could just vacation and take a break. But then I had this thought, I do trust that this is a leading of the Holy Spirit that I cannot just relax. When we talk about the anointing, the Holy Spirit, for a period of time within me, was telling me that I need to be watchful, I need to pursue, etc. And so at that time, I thought that from the very beginning of the day, in the morning, I need to get up early. At that time, it was a little difficult. I was sharing with a sister, she's in mainland China, and I asked her, what time do you get up? She says, 5 a.m. I said, wow, that's so early. I can't do that. Perhaps 6 a.m. So from that time on, every day, 6 a.m., I get up to have morning watch and morning devotion. Oftentimes, around 5:40, I wake up. Sometimes I think I want to sleep a little more. But within me, there is this thought that I need to wake up. I need to get up. So I thank the Lord after several months, all the way to now, a little bit before 6 a.m., I wake up and I get up and I read the Bible and I pray. Now, recently, my youngest son, he's very lazy. He sleeps until 2 p.m. And so from last week, we told him he has to wake up early to have morning devotions with us. So now my youngest son, of course, together with my wife, who's telling him, the three of us, We start at 8 a.m. because I'm thinking of my children, my second son, who's also young. So every day at 8 a.m., we get up for morning devotions and we begin our day. And so this recently is something that I've been learning in how to follow the teaching of the anointing. And of course, sometimes I have some struggle, but after I submit and obey, and after I learn to submit to the Holy Spirit, I have the peace of life. This is my sharing. Secondly, we're going to ask Brother Young. We see our brother, Brother Jimmy Young. I want to share with brothers and sisters three small things that have happened in me. I do believe, brothers and sisters, for so many years in the Lord, you all have your spiritual experiences. The first thing, many years ago, one time there was a brother who asked me to bring some spiritual books into mainland China because I needed to go on a business trip there. And very quickly I had agreed. But then when I looked, I realized it was a lot of books, not a few books. I put it in my luggage and we brought it over. We know at that time, the communist government already was checking. There was a green line and then there was a red line. And for myself, before I got on the plane, I was thinking to myself, what am I going to do about all these books? If I get found out, what am I going to say? And then right before the plane was to land, before it was to land in China, within me, I started to think again, how was I going to respond? If I got caught and searched out, how was I going to respond? And at this time, I had no peace within me. So right before arrival, God's words came to me. Luke chapter 12, there is this phrase that says, if man brings you before the synagogue, brings you before people, do not worry about what you are to say. Because at that time, the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say. As soon as that word came into me, I was completely set free. There was a peace that was unspeakable, as if I had no worries at all. And amazingly, that day, I went according to the green line. And so very peacefully, I walked through the customs. So I thanked the Lord. This was my experience of going through customs. Another second experience. In the leading of the Lord, I learned this lesson of faith. Because the brother that needed to receive all these books, he was a brother in the family churches, and there was some R&B as well. So I thought, how am I going to gather with this brother? How am I going to meet him? Should I ask this brother to come to my hotel, or I was going to secretly bring it to a location? I had a lot of thoughts because there's so many people, but our brother is very mature and trained. He says, let me come to your hotel, no problem. And so he came to the hotel and everything was very peaceful in our exchange of the books and in the fellowship. And then there was another lesson I needed to learn, that in all of these matters, today as I brought in all of these books and as I give these books to our brother, it is the Holy Spirit who is in control. I don't need to worry and calculate so much. This was the first matter. And the second experience I had was another small thing. This was in 2008. After our financial crisis, our work had stopped for about 1 to 2 months. One day I needed to go to a company for a meeting, and in my heart, I was full of worry and stress because I didn't know when the situation was going to change. And so as I was worried, God's word came in. He says, have you sought first my kingdom and my righteousness? And then all these things will be added unto you. Why are you so worried? Brothers and sisters, these words from the day of our salvation, we have memorized them. We know it. But that day, When this word came into my heart, it was truly the anointing. It was living inside of me. It was true in me. And this word took away all of my worries. And within me, I was so full of joy. It was like the skies were bright and clear for me now. So all these small experiences that I had allow me to feel, brothers and sisters, that oftentimes I am but just a wind. But in spiritual experiences, when the Lord, he allowed me to experience the truth of his word, allowed me to experience how true, how real he is. Now my relationship with him is more real. Now the third experience was recently. Last year, before and after our election in this country, my heart, there was so much news, there was so much deception and lies. My heart was constantly up and down. And I read a lot and I cared a lot. But God's word also came in and reminded me, you spend so much time in all this. Do you need to? After I heard this, I did submit for a little bit. Yes, I need to spend more time to read God's word. But then still, I was influenced by the outward things a lot. I didn't completely submit. I did not prioritize my time well. Until recently, the Lord gave me this huge reminder just about 2 weeks ago. When I got up in the morning, it was my common habit to go get my cell phone. I turned on my phone. And then there was this voice inside of me. Is the cell phone more important or is God's word more important? When that word came into me, I immediately put down my phone. So 2 weeks ago, I don't touch my cell phone. It's not that I'm declaring a vow here, but the Lord reminded me, why are you touching the cell phone? Is that so important? From that day on, I thank the Lord. He has mercy on me. That I don't touch my phone. First, I read God's word. I thank the Lord. My Lord loves me. So he often reminds me. And so in this matter, he also reminds me that when we are mindful of the spirit and not mindful of the flesh, how? The Lord reminds me that when I think of the things above, or am I thinking of the things below? If my heart is often thinking about the things above, then my mindfulness is a little bit more natural, then it's more possible for me. And so I'm going to stop here, Brother Sun. Thank you. Next, we're going to ask Brother Daniel in Austin. And if both of you have a sharing, that's fine too. Brother Daniel will use English. I do believe many brothers and sisters, as you've listened to their sharing, that your heart is also pounding and perhaps you also want to share. But sadly, I cannot give you an opportunity today. If the Lord has given you a very clear moving as we begin this period of time, is for us to have a testimony sharing. So I do ask you that you would tell your sharing to Brother Jian Hui, and then I will put you in a list, and that we'll all take turns, and then we can all have the sharing. So that gradually, as we've established this, then we'll open up the time so that there's more free sharing. We do hope that through this, we do know that there are some sisters who have already sent their sharing to Brother Jian Hui. And so in your heart, you are moved, please do tell our brother. But because of time, because we're still at the very beginning stages of this pursuit, and so I do feel that there are some things in the spiritual principles I still want to have more detailed sharing. And so I hope that in our spiritual pursuit, brothers and sisters, it won't be something's chaotic, but that we would have a very clear format. And so, brothers and sisters, you may remember that as we began, we talked about how this time, as we pursue together, our direction and goal is to allow the Lord to gain more of me. We want the Lord to gain more of us. We need to keep this in our heart. If we're using Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus." Now, the Apostle Paul, in all of his life experiences, he knew that there is something that is very important to allow the Lord to lay hold of him more. If the Lord does not gain you, lay hold of you, then what you lay hold of is very limited. If the Lord hasn't gained you, then you cannot be perfect and complete. This is a very important matter. So here Paul is encouraging us that we may be laid hold of more and more by the Lord. Oftentimes we pray, we say, "Lord, do give me wisdom. Lord, give me power, give me gifts. Give me this blessing, that blessing." Brothers and sisters, these are all random things before the Lord as we pursue. But if the Lord can lay hold of you, then very naturally, all these things will come about. You don't need to constantly request of these things. And so I see there are many young brothers and sisters here. I have a small story that I want to share with you. This was in the past when we were sharing the gospel, a story that I've used before. There was this old man. He was very, very wealthy. However, he had no son. He had no children. And so in his old age, he felt very lonely and that he had no meaning in his life. So one day, all of a sudden, he had this idea that in front of his house, he was going to put out the sign, "All the items in my house, whoever wants to take it, please come. I am old. I don't need it. So everybody, please take." So a lot of people came to take things of his house. Some took tables and chairs and sofas and lamps, all sorts of things. People were interested in taking it. And then there was a young man who came. He stood in front of the old man, kept looking at him. And the old man says, "Why are you looking at me? All these things, go ahead and take. If you don't take, others will take it before you." This young man said, "I don't want anything. I want you to be my father. I want to be your son." And this old man was so deeply touched. Immediately he raised his hand and said, "Stop, everyone, stop taking things, because now I have a son. All belongs to my son." So brothers and sisters, this is a very simple story, and yet the meaning is very deep. In spiritual things, it is a very important principle. If you can be gained by the Lord, then you don't need to request of all these other things. Do you have that wisdom? Paul deeply understood this. As long as the Lord can gain a hold of me, then you will not lack any of his benefits. You don't even need to request of it. And so this time I have a very deep burden. I hope that together with brothers and sisters, how can we allow the Lord to gain more of us? In the past, many brothers and sisters, perhaps you've never thought of that. We want to gain more of Christ. We even say this. We sing this. More of Christ. More of Christ. I want more of this and more of that. In the past, I was also moved by such hymns. But very rarely do brothers and sisters have this thought. How can we allow the Lord to gain more of me? Very rare do we have people like Paul who understood this. And so this time, I want to turn brothers and sisters' direction. Doesn't matter about other people or other works. You need to search out how can the Lord in our lives gain more of us, more of me. Sometimes when you are quiet and meditate on this, think about how in your life, how much has the Lord gained of us? Sometimes when I think about this, I stand before the Lord in fear and trembling because I have given so little of myself to the Lord. So brothers and sisters, this is a very important matter. So according to four different paths we are going to pursue, the main purpose is for the Lord to gain more of us, to lay hold of more of us. And so when we talk about establishing a good spiritual habit, we need to be very familiar with God's words. We need to follow the teaching of the anointing. And we also take a hold of other people's spiritual experiences to learn from it, and we move forward. And so now, I do want to emphasize again the obedience and submitting ourselves to the teaching of the anointing. I have heard some of the suggestions of the young people, and I've suggested to you as well to have a daily journal, a log, to write down all of the experiences of following the teaching of the anointing. Why do I suggest you to do this? It is to help you. Don't think of it as a tedious thing or a hassle, because it will turn your attention more and more upon the leading of the Holy Spirit within you. We just heard some brothers and sisters, they shared their stories of how they followed the teaching of the anointing. I do feel that among us, our knowledge and understanding of following the teaching of the anointing is not as accurate. Why? Because we constantly think that following the teaching of the anointing is just a very special experience. Isn't that right? It's a very special or outstanding, an experience that's abnormal. But no, it should not be. Brothers and sisters, after our salvation, God has placed the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. The leading and the life of the anointing within is continual. It's a lifestyle. It is a daily lifestyle. This is very, very important. How do you know that the Lord has laid hold of more of you? If you follow the teaching of the anointing, that proportion of how much you have followed will show us exactly how much the Lord has gained you. Do you hear me? use the anointing as a measurement. What is that? This is a lifestyle matter. Your thoughts, your speech, your actions, every single matter has to do with the anointing. It's not that one day, because of a special circumstance in your life, something extraordinary happens. Forgive me for saying, in these years that have passed, we have felt that there are some brothers and sisters, they have gifts, and they're very zealous. They can do this, they can do that. But those who truly follow the anointing in their daily life and service, there's not many of them. Here, I want to say that in this matter, we need to emphasize and share upon this more. What is spiritual life? Brothers and sisters, what is a spiritual life? It is the Holy Spirit daily leading you. That is a spiritual life. If you live according to your zeal, according to your own ideas and your own thoughts, before the Lord, that doesn't count. You might say, oh my, this word is too serious, it's too severe. But let me tell you, look at the Old Testament. There's so many characters. The Bible records their entire life. And of course, it's not complete. There's Abraham, all of his life. There are some things that are recorded, some that are not. It's not a complete biography of his life, right? Why is the Bible recording only portions of people's lives? There's a very important reason. Because in their life, that matter was connected to God's will, had something to do with Christ. Therefore, the Holy Spirit recorded it down. All the things that have nothing to do with him are not written down. Do pay close attention. This is very important, because one day when you come before the Lord and the Lord points this out and you don't know, all of your spiritual life has to do with how you have followed the Holy Spirit. That life in you following the Holy Spirit is your spiritual life. After you were saved, the Lord says, okay, from now on, you need to live a Christian life. And so you follow according to the teaching of the Bible and you go and do it. Brothers and sisters, is it like that? Most Christians in Christianity think that today. Do you also think that way? No. Why does God give us the Holy Spirit to live in us? Because he pays attention to the life, that the new life that you have within you. The Holy Spirit wants to bring you into that new life. And so once the Holy Spirit leads you in all aspects, that is your true spiritual life. Pay close attention to your everyday life, every single aspect of your life. How much of your day have you truly lived a spiritual life? It's possible that you were all living within yourself. If you live according to the anointing you have been gained by him, and you see that our Lord Jesus, he lived as an example for us. He never spoke according to himself. Our Lord never did according to his own will. When we see the book of John, John really emphasizes this. There are many, many verses that speak of this. The Lord says, how the Father does, how the Father speaks is how I do and how I speak. I never do according to my own will. The Lord is our example. He is our model, our standard. In the New Testament, as a new creature, this is how we are to live. That is called the spiritual life. So today, if you have defined the spiritual life accurately, that is how you are to live. It is now the life according to the Holy Spirit. That is our spiritual life. Now in church, when we say, oh, we need to live a spiritual life, how? We need to obey God's word, do according to his will. We need to gather. We need to tithe. We need to follow him. No, brothers and sisters, in every aspect, please remember, if you are not with the Holy Spirit, it does not count. No matter how zealous you are, it doesn't matter. No matter how you have set your will to do something, it doesn't mean it's bad. But the Lord cannot accept it. I often say, God is God, he is not man. If it were for us, we would change, but God, he never changes. In these years, in this aspect, the Holy Spirit has often been teaching me. It has been very certain. I often hit this point and I realize he is God, he is not man. We cannot use man's perspective to look at this. If you let it go, God cannot let it go. If you're careless, God cannot count it. In all of God's work, because he has paid such a huge price with his own life and blood, he has given us the Holy Spirit, such a precious, valuable spirit now dwelling inside of us. And we look at it as something very common and casual. Brothers and sisters, then you will lose greatly. I will also lose out greatly. So please remember from here on out, what is a spiritual life? That is when you obey the teaching of the anointing, then that is true spiritual life. Then that counts before the Lord. In the Old Testament, there's so many examples. Look at David. In all of David's life, we can say that we have the most stories of David in the Old Testament. But all of that have to do with something to do with God, with Christ. Then God writes it down, records it down. Anything that does not have to do with God, then he does not write it down. He doesn't care how well you do it. It doesn't matter how good your intentions are or how pure your motives are. It doesn't matter. He will not record it. When I say it in this way, I believe it's clear, right? Isn't it clear? You are clear. You need to understand this because I need to hear this clearly as well. At any time you are apart from the Holy Spirit, then that is not called your spiritual life. You cannot just say, I've taken the Bible over to church on Sunday. That's my spiritual life. That doesn't count before God. This is a very important principle. And so I encourage brothers and sisters, from here on out, obey, follow the teaching of the anointing. Brothers and sisters, this has to do, much to do with our daily life. So don't use this as an extraordinary example. Of course, there will be times when the Holy Spirit will give you a very strong moving or conviction. And you, in your feelings, you find that it is more special or a particular circumstance. But in following the teaching of the anointing, it needs to be a lifestyle, a consistent, continual lifestyle. In every single matter, you can walk with the anointing. Your family life, it is the same. In your work, it's the same. In your daily life service, even more so, it's the same. In this way, you are truly living a spiritual life. And then, brothers and sisters, in service, even more so. At any point in time, when you are following the Holy Spirit to do work, then that is truly called God's work. If there is no anointing, then what you are doing is a waste. It's not here I'm emphasizing this because I need to also abide by this as well. So in these years, I feel deeply within me, if there was not the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I cannot say this. I cannot do this. Without the anointing of the Lord, I should not go. I cannot go. If you really want to please the Lord, or are we here wanting to please our own desires? And so if you want to allow the Lord to gain more of us, you need to follow. And so in all of the scripture, we see those who follow the anointing, all of that, the Lord counted that. And so no wonder Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us that the true work of God is gold, silver, precious stones. The wood, hay, and stubble, all of that is not what God desires. But wood, hay, and stubble, there's a lot of it. There's huge piles of it. However, gold, silver, and precious stones are very few and rare. Oh, don't look at others and say, oh, that person's so gifted. There's going to be a great work there. There's great hope there. That person is very famous. But it's very possible that what they do is wood, hay, and stubble, because what is truly gold is very rare. There's few of it. That's why it's so valuable, right? We pray that today the Lord would give us true spiritual eyesight. What are we really choosing? Do you want to do a lot for yourself? For the outward work? Or are you truly closely following the leading of the Holy Spirit? No wonder when we see in the book of Acts, each of the apostles very closely were following the anointing. Even as they stood before the officials, they were filled by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means the anointing was overflowing in them. So everything they said was full of strength and power, and it could cause others to fall down. This was not something of themselves. Brothers and sisters, we need to know all of God's work needs to be the work of God. Then that is true spiritual work. Let me give you a very simple example. One day when we come before the Lord, will the Lord say to you, remember that year, that month? And then I can't think of it. Will the Lord says, oh, you have done my work on that year, that day. I need to thank you for that. Will the Lord say that? No. This is a very simple logic. Today, if you are zealous and you do some work for God, it may not count before Him. God won't thank you for it. Look how great He is, how full of wisdom is. Does He need you and I to help Him? How can we help Him? We cannot help God. Don't have this idea that you're going to help God. Oh, these days, I see that God hasn't done this and hasn't done that. As if God is asleep. He's resting, so I need to go wake him up. And so you call out very loudly, God, wake up. And since he's not doing it, I'm going to do it for him. And I'm going to do this and do that. And then I'm going to put the receipt on God. And one day, will God say, thank you? Oh, thank you that in those days you have done all of this for me. Oh, you're so good. Thank you. Will he say that? No, that is not God's work. Please remember. Please remember. Remember this. We don't have that many days. God very quickly will come back, grab a hold of the opportunity to obey the teaching of the anointing. Follow the teaching of the anointing as closely as you can. Follow him closely. If the Lord doesn't say it, we do not say it. If he doesn't do it, we're not going to do it. Do not be tempted. Let me tell you, I have many temptations. You have many temptations. Do not fall into temptation. I thank the Lord in these days. Because of the pandemic has closed me within my home. It's been more than 1 year I've been at home. I've learned a lot. He's locked me up at home. I can't go anywhere. It's even better that today I need to learn to follow the Lord according to his moving. Please remember, if you know how the Lord is to gain us, it has to do with how much you have followed the teaching of the anointing. So why am I encouraging brothers and sisters to write this journal and this log? If today you have nothing to write, then perhaps you have been gained very little by the Lord. Forgive me for saying, then today you have wasted your day. Then today before the Lord, it has no value. Perhaps you have won first place in your test and you have gained your position, your degree, and you have gotten a job. Those are all outward things. Let me give you a very strong example that's a little bit out there, but I want to emphasize this, I give you a deeper impression. the true spiritual life is your life of obeying, following the teaching of the anointing. True spiritual work has to do with the work that is through the anointing. Without that, then perhaps it's like Paul who says, you have run in vain, you have worked in vain. I do hope that we can really hear God's words into the depths of our heart to allow the Lord to lay hold of more of us. This is something that cannot be lacking. It is absolutely necessary. This is an absolutely necessary life and lifestyle that we need to follow and obey the teaching of the anointing. We hope that after such a gathering, that every brother and sister, you will remember this. We want more of the Lord to gain more of us. In such a way, if you follow the teaching of the anointing, don't worry that you will not have revelation. You don't need to worry that you will have no gifts in service. And you don't need to worry that you will have no power to do God's work. You don't need to worry that you lack this or lack that in God's work. No. From when I was young, the Lord has given me a little bit of this learning and practice, even though I didn't learn it well, but because of his grace, I have so much to be thankful for. Just yesterday, I was thinking, because now I'm getting older, and I truly thank and praise my Lord. Who am I? What do I have? What usefulness do I have that I'm able to be led until this point? But for this grace, I have countless thanksgiving before him, and yet I still have a lot of regret. There are things that I think I want to gain, but I haven't gained. I still have lacking in my obedience to the anointing. But, brothers and sisters, in following the teaching of the anointing, there's not one person who can be perfect. Not one person is 100% perfect, even the apostles. But of course, you continue and you still try. You press on. We want to allow the Lord to gain a hold of more of us. This cannot be lacking in our spiritual experience. And so now as we continue on, if the Lord still gives us an opportunity, I hope that I can go into more depths regarding this. And I do hope, brothers and sisters, will also emphasize this, that you will pay attention to this. Last time, we talked about how in our spiritual habits, and now as we continue on, I want to continue on to have some more fellowship on this matter. We talked about how having good spiritual habits is both individual and corporate. Regarding the individual, I'm not going to repeat it again, but regarding the corporate body, we also talked about some of this, but we didn't finish because our time had concluded, and so I had stopped. So first off, what we pay attention in developing good habits, there are four important keys. Please remember, don't think that I'm just being tedious here or nagging, but I do need to repeat because when we repeat it, we need to remember. First is life. We need to have a living. We need to have habits and we need to have training. In our spiritual life, these are four important keys, whether it's individual or corporate. And so now I want to share something very important with you. That is, the church corporate habit as well as the question of the church's way. Don't look lightly upon the corporate habits, because it will influence the Lord's way. It will have a very deep influence and impact on God's way. Let's read some of God's word. And in this passage, I do hope you will remember it. Let's take a look at the book of Psalm. Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 41. This verse, very sadly, in Chinese, it did not translate it very clearly. But if you have it in English, perhaps you will see it more clearly. Psalm 78, 41. Again and again, they tempted God and pained the Holy One of Israel. This latter section, latter phrase, the meaning is different in Chinese. In the original, it says, again and again, they tempted God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited, drew a boundary line for the Holy One of Israel. Brother Andrew Murray, he used this passage in the past and said, if you are to draw a line, what is the greatest sin of all of Israel in the Old Testament? What is the greatest sin of all of Israel? In the past, we think of, oh, their idol worship, their immoralities, because it constantly occurred. But our brother tells us that the greatest sin of all Israel is that they drew a boundary line around God. They limited him. What does it tell us? It tells us the greatness of our God, his glory, cannot be limited. We cannot use anything, any method to limit our God. Anytime you limit him, then you have offended him. You have sinned against him. God can never be limited by man. You cannot give God a rule and say, God, you can only do your work in this realm, in this way. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, all of God's children committed the same error all the way until today. The Israelites still have this thought, this feeling that God's blessing is only among them. The Gentiles are not worthy. They cannot be blessed by God. God, you can only bless within this limit, within this boundary. So do remember this, brothers and sisters. Never draw a limiting boundary around him. What type of man are you? How small are we? We are so small. Why are you trying to draw a line for God? Brothers and sisters, when we talk about our spiritual habits, particularly in our corporate life, we need to be very, very careful about this. Why is it that in 2,000 some years of church history, there have been so many denominations? Why are there so many denominations? It's because they have their habits. They have their methods, their ways, their rules. God doesn't want any of that. In the Brethren movement, they realized that this was a great error. We cannot have such things. But sadly, later on, the Brethren movement itself had their own boundaries, their own rules. We often fall into such a weakness. So brothers and sisters, we know that in the Old Testament, God has already given us a great warning. This is a very great warning that tells us this is how the Israelites had failed. When you read the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses, we see very clearly that the Jews at that time, in their gathering and in their service, it was all set by God from Mount Sinai. How God has set the law, gave them the tabernacle, and in the tabernacle, there were many rules about how they were to serve in his house. It's very clear in the book of Leviticus and in these books. All of these things were, it seems as if God had given to them, but we have said in the past many times that the method is secondary. What is most important is life. Within the scripture, in the life of the altar, in the wash basins, in the lampstands, in the burning of the incense, yes, all these were all things that God has set and established. But there is a very important boundary that God has set. It must be living. Later on, why did all of these things have no meaning? It's because God's salvation in the Old Testament had not been completed yet. The Holy Spirit had not come. He had not finished salvation yet. But there was one thing that was very important. That was God's presence. And so within the tabernacle, as long as you had God's presence, then everything had meaning. When you have sacrifice, there's meaning. In the wash basins, there's meaning. When you light the candles, the lights, the showbread, the incense, when you come into the tabernacle, all things had meaning. Brothers and sisters, this is very pivotal. Later on, the Jews took this worship of God and made it into Judaism. They had the outward method, but there was no more presence of God. God's presence was not there anymore. At that time, one time a year when the great high priest had to enter into the Holy of Holies, and then between the wings of the cherubim, there he met with a priest. And then in all of God's in God's work, there was meaning because God was there. But then one day, because of the sin of the people of God, because of their idolatry, and God's presence was lost, all of that outward became just an outward tradition and form. It had no meaning. Not only did it have no meaning, but it was in opposition to God. Brothers and sisters, this picture in the Old Testament is very clear. So we need great mercy from God. And at the end, God rather have them lose the Ark of God. The Ark of God represents the meaning of Christ. And at the end, the Israelites, when they worshiped in the temple, there was no more Ark of the Covenant. It was just an outward worship. To the Israelites, this is a picture of the church today. Use it as a mirror to see ourselves. Today in our church service and life, are you just paying attention to the outward? Have you done everything properly, that when you sing beautifully, and on all these matters, you do it right? Do we just pay attention to these outward things that of whether or not you preached well? Brothers and sisters, God doesn't pay attention to that. In the New Testament time, what he pays attention to is life. He pays attention to life. In the Old Testament, the people were so foolish after they lost the presence of God. They still boasted in their outward formality. All the way to the book of Acts in the New Testament, we have Moses. We have been circumcised. We follow these rules and regulations. We hold fast the Sabbath. They still boasted in these things. Today, for the condition of the church, it's the same. A lot of people use their methods and formalities as something to boast in. They do not pay attention to whether or not God's presence is here. They pay attention to the outward works. and then the Jewish lifestyle, all of it was in bondage to tradition. Even until today, they are bound by tradition. Paul, Peter, James, they had special mercy of God. They were set free from this. They were set free from man's tradition. And so Paul, towards this, has a very, very deep and sensitive heart towards this. Today, we know when we use the Old Testament failure of the Jews, that principle can still be used today in the church, in this principle of failure. The greatest failure is that we lose the way of the Lord. In the book of Acts, the apostles constantly emphasize this issue of the way. In Judaism, in the first century, this was the greatest hindrance and power and strength of the enemy in the church. Today, as we pursue together, I need to emphasize to brothers and sisters these things from the scripture. If you listen to this just as a preaching, then this is very sad, very tragic. We need to pay attention to this matter. We need to look to his mercy for this. When all of this have denatured, changed the characteristic of God's way, it became the greatest hindrance of God. It became an even greater hindrance than the outward Gentile world. So please remember, there's not one thing, one church, one group can limit God, Jehovah. If you hold fast to the outward form and way, then you are drawing a boundary line around God. You are requiring God to stay within these lines for him to bless you in such a way. So may the Lord open up the eyes of our hearts that we would be set free, that we may be deeply instructed by God from the Old Testament. Today, you and I are still here on earth. We are following him. We have different gatherings in our different locations for our gatherings to be blessed. We need to be saved out of these ways. This, our formality of tradition, is a very terrible thing. Now in the New Testament time, in the first century, the early church condition was saved by God. They finally were saved out of the traditions of Judaism. And the church life was completely changed. The Jews hated it so much. They used great strength. They even placed their own lives upon it. They wanted to oppose the church. They wanted to completely destroy and put out the church. When you read the book of Acts, you can sense the strength and the evil forces that was in it. When you take a look at Stephen, he was saved. He came to know God's will, and Satan use such a terrible strength and power, using Judaism through their tradition of men. They killed Stephen and chased Paul. And they chased him. We know that in the book of Acts, it is very clear that we see the great spiritual warfare that is occurring there. What is it? It is tradition. The rules and regulations, fighting against life. And so today, you and I, we need to follow life. I've said in the past, at any time, if you go to any gathering, Yes, you will have habits. But we cannot go to such a point where that habit will control us. Then no, it cannot be. It needs to be everything controlled by life. You cannot turn it around. Because once you've turned it around, then you become a religious organization, and then you are away from God's will. In the first century, for the sake of the way of the Lord, they had such a strong opposition and battle against the Gentile world, against the Roman world, against Judaism. They paid with their own lives to hold fast to the testimony of the Lord. We thank the Lord that in the first century, this testimony, light, was so bright. And we all see this and understand it. Brothers and sisters, why was it that in the last years of John, when he wrote his letters, in the Gospel according to John, the greatest purpose was to bring his children back into life. And so John was an apostle of recovery to bring them back into life. And some people have said that when John wrote the Gospel according to John, the background of it was that in the church, there appeared a great heresy. It was called Gnosticism. Gnosticism, the definition of it is just knowledge. They use knowledge to replace life. This is the principle of the tree of life versus the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It continues on until today. Today, all of Christianity pays attention to knowledge. Very few people pay attention to life. No wonder the condition of the church is so weak. Brothers and sisters, if you and I are the same way, then you cannot establish a good testimony. Please remember, if today your emphasis and you pay attention on knowledge, I know a lot of young people, we like this. Even me, I like this. In our natural life, that is what we enjoy. However, God tells us we need to return back to life. Because at that time, the church on earth already had a lot of traditions, a lot of rules and ways that were established. In the first century, it did not conclude. Before it ended, John, he had such a heavy burden. God gave him this entrustment. He was to write the Gospel according to John in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. We see John in the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word. At the very beginning. What was it at the very beginning? And then 1st John 1:1. Do you remember? This has to do with the way of life, what we have seen with the eyes, looked at, touched with the hands, concerning the word of life. He wanted to bring us back to life. The apostles were in a battle. They were in the spiritual warfare. They wanted to bring the children of God back. Why? Because the children of God at that time, the condition of the church, so many churches have been established and all of them were paying attention to the works, to this thing and that thing. And at the end of the first century, now the second century, it was a time of the church fathers. They could not hold fast. Even the apostles truly loved them. They had given their lives for the way. But in holding fast to the truth, there were problems. Brothers and sisters, we need to be careful of this one matter. In church history, we honor those who martyred their lives for the Lord, those who truly paid the price with their life. But we cannot follow according to their wrong teachings. Because Augustine, when he came up, when he taught about the different churches, church fathers, it has broken, and there were so many heretical teachings. These were people who had followed the apostles. Today, we also need to be careful. If you followed some spiritual men, I oftentimes remind brothers and sisters, in scripture, we only follow one, that is Christ. If you have put man before God, then you have committed a great sin. We can only follow Christ. There's only one way. The Bible says, you follow me, I am the way, only Christ. The Father directly has said, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. Listen to the Lord more than any other man, is more important than anyone else. We know that John, in his latter years, he was trying so hard to do this work of recovery, but we see the fallen condition of man, that power, that natural flesh is still so strong. And so after John was written, we see that the condition of the church deviated. Yes, they still loved the Lord. Yes, they were still for the Lord. And then to the 4th and 5th century, then Catholicism came in, completely changed everything. Now in Catholicism, that power was so great, it seemed as if the enemy had won. And after 1,000 years of darkness, many things you cannot even imagine. Now when you look back, it's so laughable. It's so foolish. Like buying indulgences. This is such a laughable thing. But they were doing this so diligently that you had to have this idol worship, these forms and formalities and traditions. It was completely deviated from the original, from God's will. And then Martin Luther, after the Reformation, and recovered the truth of justification by faith, it still had not completely recovered from all of the traditions of the past. And then when we come to the Brethren movement, we know that they were able to be set free a little bit more. But we do know that gradually over the years, God has recovered much. Today, in the Reformed Church, so-called Reformed Church, in every denomination, how many people are in it? We need to know that in some rules, it's not for people to do evil. It's out of good intentions. But in these good intentions, it has brought great limitation to the children of God, to the point where some people really emphasize their particular form, their form. They use that to be their proud, their pride, their boast, that they do it the most neatly and organized in according to the scripture. But brothers and sisters, please remember, grab a hold of this main point, that if it is not in life, no matter how good it is outwardly, the Lord doesn't want it. So may the Lord show us mercy in these years, in my understanding, in the Brethren movement, the spiritual help that they have brought to us. I have always emphasized two things, because these are two things that we could do. First, we go back to simplicity. If you follow life, it is simple. It is natural. It's not something that is processed. You add in the acts and the ideas of man. That is not of true life. We simply follow life. Secondly, in this, the Brethren movement have also reminded us, we need to be accurate. We need to have accuracy. We need to follow God's word, God's teaching. It doesn't matter who said it in the past, how big that person was, how much gift that person has. No, it cannot replace God's word. We do honor those people, yes, but we cannot take those people and their teaching to become truth. That is the error of the Jews. They follow the tradition of man. They use the tradition of man as principle. And then they lead others astray. This is such an important point. This has to do with today in our church life, of whether or not we receive grace from God. So in church life, we need to hold fast tightly to the anointing. In the church, many people who serve God think that they are more mature so that they could set some rules for the church, some ways for the church. No, be very careful. Be very, very careful. In our eyes, when we see that there are some rules and when we see that there are some boundaries, this will help the church, but be careful. Please remember Psalms 78, verse 41. Memorize this passage. Never limit the Holy One of Israel. We cannot give God a boundary line and say, you can do this, because God is God. We can all only follow his leading in all things. It needs to be living. In the first century, when the apostles received grace and their eyes of their spirit was opened, because they had been in bondage and in such bitterness and suffering because of rules and tradition and form, now they were willing to give up their life for this testimony. For God's words, it is so clear. It cannot be even more clear. If God has given us such clear words, how can we be so foolish? How can we walk in the wrong way? Because one day we need to speak before God. We have nothing else to say before him. We need to mutually encourage one another. We do not have that much time to follow the Lord. May he do this work of enlightenment. Now, brothers and sisters, we need to talk about some more practical things in our church life that we need to pay attention to. We're all very clear about Hebrews 10:25, that we cannot stop gathering, just like those who are in the habit. That habit in the New Testament, this habit in the original Greek, it talks about the rules, the regulations, the stipulations. And that is the habit of some. Now you have gone into the habit, the rules of some other thing. Have you ever thought about how, as a Christian, why do we need to assemble together? Why do we need to gather? After we are saved, now we begin to have meetings and assemblies. And in these assemblies, it is something we cannot stop in. When we read Hebrews 10:25, some tell us it is God's commandment that, yes, we need to gather. Are you constantly gathering because it's a commandment? You are being commanded to gather together? Is that right? No. We need to remember. I need to clarify with brothers and sisters. Today in the world, a nation, when it has an assembly, when a company needs to have a meeting, why? It is for the sake of the work. It is in order to govern a country. They need to have an assembly, a meeting. They have a purpose. As a student, you need to go to school. You need to be with your classmates. Why? For the sake of your education. So we gather together. But now as Christians, when we assemble together, what gathers us together? I hope, brothers and sisters, you can remember today. It is because
After our salvation, we now have a life. This life is a life of assembling together. This, because of this life, that is why we gather together. There's some Christians, it's very interesting. They gather, they think it's flavorless, but they still want to come. Why? Because once they don't come, they don't have peace. Isn't that strange? Have you ever had that experience? Because you sit at home, you're not gathering, and you lack peace. Because of then there are those who have a numb conscience. They have no more feeling whatsoever. It is because their sensation of life is very, very small and weak. I've said before, I knew a brother. He left the gatherings for 30-some years. And finally, he came back. And that day, within me, I was so shocked. What strength brought him back? It was life. Because he can't depart from life. Assembling together is because of life. So brothers and sisters, please remember, to gather together, the most important is on the gathering together. We need to gather together. Of course, some gatherings, it causes you much suffering, but you still need to gather. But we hope that in our gathering, it can bring us blessing. So, you know, in 1 Thessalonians, it tells us, one day, what are we going to do before the Lord? We're going to gather before him. Epignosis. Gnosis means to gather. Epignosis, it means a full gathering. Before the Lord, we're going to have a true gathering. We have many gatherings. It's not false, but they're not true. So it causes us much sorrow and suffering. Of course, in many years, I have also had some true gatherings, because when the Holy Spirit was moving after that gathering, I'm so satisfied. Have you ever tasted of that? Young brothers and sisters, have you ever tasted of that? If you've never tasted of it, then it is so pitiful. A true gathering is full of satisfaction. It is overflowing. After the gathering, in your spirit, you are so full of strength. And then when you run, you can run fast. And you have more strength to overcome temptation. Why? Because God, in that gathering, he had blessed it. Brothers and sisters, we need to know, because we have life within us, then we must gather. This is the purpose for why we gather. It's not for a special conference, because there's a good speaker. Oftentimes, that's what we do. But the most basic is because this is a matter of life. Okay, now that we've turned this upside down. Now, if in our gathering it is full of life, then brothers and sisters, then that gathering will have a great attraction for you, right? Let me tell you about when I was young, when I was still a student. That youth gathering has such a huge attraction for me. As classmates, when they invited me to go eat, go to a movie theater, to go play, I didn't want to go. I said, no, on Saturday, I have to go to the meeting. They said, why? What do you do? I said, oh, you don't know. You won't understand. He said, you're so laughable. You go sing, you go pray, you go speak a little bit. What good is that? What fun is that? But to me, that had unlimited attraction. You could not exchange that for anything else for me. I didn't understand back then. Now I understand. Why? Because that was the normal church life. It was full of life. So if you don't like to gather, you don't like to go to meetings, and of course I know brothers and sisters here, you all like to come to meetings. But don't worry, one day when you go to church, when you go to heaven, when you come before the Lord, you're going to have a meeting. And then you're going to have a headache. Oh no, another meeting. I'm going to gather for a meeting forever and ever, forever and ever and ever. Can we stand it? Don't worry, brothers and sisters. That's his epignosis. That's going to be the fullness of gathering. That every moment in your spirit, you will be full and satisfied. We're going to use eternity to gather. This far surpasses our understanding today. Today, when we gather for so many meetings, and then we are so tired, we have meeting fatigue, gathering fatigue. As soon as you have a meeting, you're tired. Why? Because there's no life in that gathering. Of course you're tired. Everyone's together. You have no word of God. There's no life. There's no anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then somebody's just speaking according to his own mind. Today, the church today, the condition, they use so many attractions. It's gotten to such a tragic point. In order to continue these meetings, they have to use many different attractions and entertainment. You don't have to imagine. We all know this. So we need to have this deep understanding. When we gather, we want to have a meeting that's full of life. Brothers and sisters, we need life. So when you follow the teaching of the anointing, it's so important. Every Christian needs to be watchful and awake. You need to be awake. You need to be alive. So when you come to the meeting, you know if life is there or not. So in this matter, regarding this grace, we need to have grace. We need to gather. If you do not gather, it is something very sad. However, if you gather in a meeting that doesn't have God's presence, it's also very sad. So may the Lord help us to understand this principle. Now, in our gatherings, there are several things we also need to pay attention to. The very first greatest importance of why we gather is not to hear message, is to worship the Lord. Of course, some people turn meetings into a social. Of course, that's a greater mistake. It is not for a social, it is a worship. We need to have a heart of worship. And so we see in the Old Testament, the priests during their normal years, when they went to go worship God, they had to prepare themselves. Without preparation, they could not go. Today, when we go to church, how many of us prepare? On Sunday, we just go. In the past, when we had a normal condition, it wasn't like this. We prepared at home. We would pray, and in our spirit, we had such great joy. Before we go to the meeting, our hearts were pounding. We were excited. We wanted to quickly go. We were prepared to worship. Of course, God tells us, be clear that when we worship, it is in spirit and in truth. So it's not in the outward formality. In the Brethren movement, these were great freedoms that our brothers had taught us, has shown us. So the very basic attitude is that we need to have a heart of reverence for the Lord. We need to have a heart of reverence. We cannot be casual before him. So next time you go to the meeting, brothers and sisters, we need to pay attention to the work of the enemy. Young brothers and sisters, be careful of this thing in your hand, this phone in your hand. Many young brothers and sisters, because of the convenience of the phone, you can play on your phone during the meetings. No. When you gather, you are gathering. Now, because we are all gathering at home, we cannot allow it to be casual. May he show us mercy. As we together come before the Lord, We need to have a heart of worship. In this worship, we sing, it is worship. We pray, it is worship. When we preach, it is also worship. When we listen to the preaching, it is worship. So within you, you have a spirit of worship. That is to say, in the gatherings, all of our attention is upon the Lord. When we sing, only Christ, only Jesus, forever Jesus, only it's the Lord Jesus. There's nothing else in our gathering, no other attention put elsewhere. So you need to prepare yourself. Have a quiet time to prepare your heart. In such a way, brothers and sisters, I believe that our meetings will change. It won't be the way it is today. We need the Lord to give us great grace. So I do want to remind everybody that when we gather, first, it is for worship. We bring in the spirit of worship, the spiritual atmosphere of worship in. This is everyone's responsibility. May the Lord show us mercy. And the second important point, we need to emphasize life. If you emphasize life, the best is that you follow the anointing. Like table meeting, communion, if the Holy Spirit tells you to pray, you pray. And as old Christians, you think, oh, because nobody's praying and you get anxious, then you want to fill in the gap. Because you're used to praying, so you can open up and pray at any time. No. In the past, there was an older sister who reminded me, said, brother, when you come to the meeting, you are not responsible. The Holy Spirit is responsible. You only bear your own responsibility for yourself. So young brothers and sisters, older brothers and sisters, we all need to follow the teaching of the anointing. So at home, if you allow the teaching of the anointing to be your lifestyle, it is habitual, then you don't need to remind one another. We don't need to remind one another when we come together for the gatherings. It's the same when we speak and preach about the Lord. In these years, the Lord has used me to preach in many places. So when I come to a new place, I would say, Lord, please richly anoint Brother Sun. Do anoint our speaker today. In the past, when I heard this, I was greatly moved. But now I feel that this prayer is not right. It's incorrect. If it's only me that has the teaching of the anointing, why don't you need the anointing? Brothers and sisters, when you come to a gathering, when you come to the tabernacle, the entire tabernacle has been anointed. Every vessel, every tent had been anointed. The entire church needs to be underneath anointing, not just a high priest. So we pray, Lord, may you anoint this entire gathering, the speaker, the listener. Everyone needs to be underneath the anointing. And then in the teaching of the anointing, we'll bring in abundant life. And of course, we cannot have this requirement, but we do need to pay attention to this in our gathering. Even though we are incomplete in what we do, no matter what, we need to remember. And of course, I know there's not one gathering that is absolute. Now, thirdly, we need to pay attention to God's presence. We need to often pray that even among thousands, today there is only one thing that I pay attention to, that is you. Lord, I need your presence. In the meeting, it doesn't matter how big the problems are or how much attack of the enemy, with his presence, I have no fear. We need to bring in God's presence. We cannot bring in the things of the world. We cannot bring in the things that we cannot bring in things that will harm his presence, our own flesh, our own ideas. This will all cause his presence to be lost. He dwells in life. So today, we need to prepare ourselves to allow the gathering of the Lord to be solely for himself. We pray that he would give us grace. And of course, we need to talk about our living speech, our living words. We're not talking about rationale or logic. Today, as you follow the anointing, it's how we learn and practice. If you, the more you obey, the more you submit, and the more abundant the words are, then 15 minutes, 30 minutes, and then an hour and a half, if it's all within the anointing will gradually grow. So at the beginning, don't speak dead words, dead rationale. Like in our fellowship meeting, in our Bible studies, we're all learning. We're all learning how to follow. And in such a way, brothers and sisters, then we can be like John in 1 John 1, verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, we are speaking concerning the word of life. From this point, if we're looking at this, we know that elderly John, he was so old, but he had a great and heavy burden within him. Sometimes I feel that even when we read the Gospel of John or 1 John, we just look at it so lightly. You haven't really touched what he was feeling. Why? Because it has to do with the church. It has to do with all the people in receiving grace. And so, brothers and sisters, individually, we need to learn how to have good spiritual habits. And then the entire building up of the church will also have good spiritual habits. I say again, God does not pay attention to these outward formalities, but in our gatherings, there will be formalities. It does not need to be the same, but what we pay attention to is not the emphasis of the outward form, but the inward life. We need to grab a hold of this. It needs to be living, then it is good. It's not that everything follows the right format, then it's good. But regarding our church corporate habits, we need to pay attention to this. Why? Because church history tells us that many people fall into our habits of our formalities. To be pulled out of this, to walk the way of the Lord, it is very difficult because our habits become a great bondage. It's not that they don't have the right heart or desire, but because of their habits, they're not in that habit. They cannot gather together anymore. I've said before, one time, many years ago, came a couple, a brother and sister. They came in because at that time we had pews. The two of them were looking behind us from the pews. Did something drop down on the floor? I asked them, brother and sister, did something fall down on the floor? They said, no. Why is it that in your gathering, behind your pews, you don't have something to pull down for us to kneel down? Because they were used to that kneeling board for them to kneel down. Because they were from a different denomination where they, for them, like Catholics, when they pray, they had to kneel down. They were looking for that board. And I said, oh no, we don't emphasize that. Today, and when we pray in spirit and in truth. And the two of them, they were so sad and they said, we had to leave. So they never came back again. Brothers and sisters, do you realize because our habits influence us to such a point that in 2000 years of church history, so many brothers and sisters, they have been brought out because of God's grace. Brother T.S. and Sparks, in that previous gathering, he had to wear a particular, that robe the preacher's robe where the collar was backwards, but now the Lord took him out of that. This is what man emphasizes, but don't look lightly upon it. All these things, these spiritual habits, it has a great influence upon us. So may the Lord show us mercy that no matter where we are, in for those who bear responsibilities, for brothers and sisters, if you have a heart to serve the Lord, may you be very clear about this, so that before the Lord returns, we may live a life that is full of life. And now time has come. If the Lord allows later on, perhaps we can have more fellowship on this. We need to pause and stop here. Shall we have a time of prayer? If the Lord moves you, may you also have another opportunity to follow the teaching of the anointing. May you submit to the anointing. And then it was all young brothers and sisters last few times who prayed. It was so wonderful. I really thank the Lord. But please remember to unmute your microphone that we can all hear. Let's have some time of prayer. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you because your life is true. Thank you that today through our brother, regarding this way of life, Lord, you have shared it with us. We thank you for our brother. We thank you for us to have this open communion and fellowship with you, who loves us to be connected with your life, we thank you. Lord, you are the God of life, and you are giving it to us abundantly, and so that every day we can experience this. For us to be able to receive this life, our hearts want to give you all thanksgiving and praise and worship. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord, we need to again consecrate ourselves to you and to your hand. Do gain us, because sometimes we don't even know our own condition. Gain us so that we may gain and lay hold of that which you desire. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank you and praise you that you are with us today and you have given us your precious word. We thank you. So now you have shown us how we are to live a spiritual life so that we may understand your will. We thank you. In the following days, do teach us in our daily life, gain more of us. We thank you. We give you all the glory in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Lord, we know that the night is very dark and your footsteps are very near. In this time, which is the most easy for man to fall asleep, may you cause our spirits to be awake and watchful and to lead us to walk in the paths of righteousness. Lord, we desire to be gained more by you. Lord, in all of our days of our life, we pray that no day would be wasted. Lord, do have mercy on us. We're willing to place all of us into your gracious hands. And on that day, when your glory descends, may we all together rejoice in welcoming you. Lord, have mercy on us. When the world, in its chaos, in its change, do protect and watch over us so that we would have very firm and steadfast footsteps in you. Thank you. You still give us opportunity, together with brothers and sisters, to pursue after you. Lord, do establish this desire. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.